And good morning to you. Happy Monday, Tucson and all of Southern Arizona. Welcome to the Common Workspace Studios for this drive time hour of Tipping Point with Zach Yenser here on AM 1030 KVY, The Voice, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. And again, I'm your host, Zach Yenser. Happy Monday to you. Our Monday morning news hour, our Monday attempt to help you slide into the week, make sense of the weekend that was, and the week ahead in the hour that we have together. That's our show today. And good morning to Matt Neely, making the magic happen today and this week and every day on the other side of the glass. Good morning, Matt. How are you?
I'm good, Zach. How are you?
Doing good.
That was quite a game on Saturday.
It was. It was. And happy Monday to you. May come back to you on that. I think today, Louis Christensen is our guest. Every Monday morning, we get to talk with people who are watching the news, in the news, talking about the news to help us on this Monday morning news hour. And have a few things on our mind. We're waiting on Louis to jump on here. We want to talk football. Want to talk film and the future of downtown. I promise you, the alliteration is completely by accident. But football, film, and the future of downtown. A surprising weekend for Arizona football. I think it surprised even those people who were watching most closely. We'll talk about that. We've had our friend Daryl Mallett talk Old Tucson and other items. We want to talk about what does the future look like. We know what the past looks like, but what does the future look like? And then let's talk about the future of downtown. I was telling Louis, and I'll stop setting it up in a minute, and we'll jump in. But I was telling Louis that I got to hear Richard Florida, a leading urbanist, and it's been interesting to watch some of his earlier work, kind of then as he talked about urban revival and talent attraction, how that played out. We know a lot more 10, 15 years on than we did when he wrote that book. But he was in town the other day talking about Tucson's urban possibilities. And he talks about how we need to see downtown recreation districts instead of central business districts. And so we'll talk a little bit about that. Again, Louis is the curator of Tucson Tomorrow, a Twitter feed. But yeah, Matt, you know, that game on Saturday caught a lot of us out off guard when we pulled Louis in. I'm sure we'll talk about it. But I don't know, were you there at the game, Matt, or were you watching like I was on TV? Yeah. You know, it was interesting, right? In my mind, we talked about this on the air too. BYU has turned out to be a solidly ranked and unbeaten team. And after game one, when we lost really barely, we were competitive into the third and fourth quarter against BYU. You thought, you know what? We didn't expect a ton out of Arizona football. And so, hey, you know, a competitive loss felt good. A competitive loss felt good. And then we got to game two and we thought, you know what, San Diego State we didn't know much about San Diego State, but we thought, man, you know what, we were favored by a point in that game. We will do okay, and got beaten badly by San Diego State. Now, San Diego State, Matt, which is interesting, you and I have had a fun back and forth on this conversation where we were like, we got this, we're good, we're up by a point, favored for the first time in a long time, got beaten badly. San Diego State just beat Utah over the weekend. They are now ranked. They are now 3-0 and unbeaten. And so they were a team that was better than we thought. They were not who we thought they were, and so, you know, we thought, okay, you know, 0-2 against two teams that are pretty decent. But Matt, I think everyone and their mom thought that we would get our first win in what, 17 games, 15 games,
15, I believe,
the longest losing streak in FBS, which is again not a list you want to be on the top of. Thought we'd get a win against NAU, Matt. I don't know what happened.
Well, a lot of things happened and a lot of things didn't happen, but the big thing is the defense played well enough to win, but the offense couldn't generate anything. And that was they just in the fourth quarter they put McLeod in and he was able to run a quick drive and they almost were able to tie it up, but that's the big thing. The defense played barely well enough to win, because if you noticed, they had scored 21 points, but 6-7 of them were on a pick six. So I think the right. offense played well enough, or the defense played well enough to win.
Right. Yeah, the it was funny on Facebook. I think this was Ray Flores from the El Charo family said the last time that the U of A lost to NAU, the Charo restaurants were 10 years old. It was 90 years ago, and oh man. Well, let's do this. There's my quick take. Let's go to break. I want to get Louis's thoughts on this on the other side. Again, we're talking football, film, and the future of downtown this hour with Louis Christensen, our Monday morning news hour. He's the curator of the Twitter feed Tucson Tomorrow. If you haven't followed it, you should follow it. Always entertaining. A cheeky but yet sincere look at everything we love about Tucson. And oh yes, as he says, bear down. We'll bear down on the way back in. We're just getting started here. Tipping Point with Zach Yenser on AM 1030. KVOY The Voice. We'll be right back.
We're the place where Tucson comes to talk. 1030, The Voice.
Why I love where I live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many businesses, they had to make changes to their hours and operations during COVID-19. But I'm so excited to announce that they are now reopened for regular hours. Go to whyiloveWhereILive.com right now to see all the new products and offerings and plan a visit to their location at the MSA Annex on Cushing off the I-10 and Avenida del Convento. Why do you love where you live?
The Men in Black are back. FC Tucson is our city's own professional soccer team, featuring talent from around the country and the world. They're ready to get back to business and a winning season for Tucson fans. Each one of the 14 home games this season will be uniquely curated and feature the sights, smells, and sounds of Tucson, but with the intensity of a playoff berth at Keno Stadium. Tickets now on sale. Head to fctucson.com to get yours for an exciting season of high-flying football. fctucson.com.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new Tech Park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. What are the community stories that define us? Talking about these stories are what Tipping Point is about, and what Storyteller PR, a public relations firm in Tucson, has been doing meaningfully for years in our community. Storyteller PR activates publicity, social media, and event production to establish and strengthen the reputation of Southern Arizona brands and organizations. What story do you need to tell? Visit us at StorytellerPR.com to learn more.
Life isn't about money, but how you handle money impacts everything. The Ramsey Show, today at 1 on 1030, The Voice.
We are back, Tucson and all of Southern Arizona. Tipping Point with Zach Yenser is what you're listening to. We just got going here this 9 a.m. drive time hour every morning, Monday to Friday. We talk about the people, ideas, and issues here on AM 1030 KVY, The Voice, shaping Tucson's future. Our guest this morning is Louis Christensen. We are waiting to pull him in here today for our Monday morning news hour, talking about three things. If we can do it, we can get to it. We always have more than we can talk about football, film in Tucson, and the future of downtown. Matt, how are we doing? Do we have Louis on the air with us, or are we still working on it?
We're working on it, Zach.
All righty, perfect. So we were, and we're just about finished talking about it. Really, I talk about football first because we wanted to get that out of the way. We don't want to feature that, not a sports show, but have been obviously closely following Jed Fish's takeover of the program. I am still excited. I'm still optimistic. A lot of friends are saying, you know, we gave him three games, and we're not seeing what we want to see. You can't do that. This is, as Louis said, I think he won't mind me saying this. Sumlin left us Chernobyl. Again, don't hate the messenger. That's Louis there. Sumlin left us a mess, and I think we all knew it was going to be a mess. I don't think we expected it to result in a loss to NAU, but that's what happened, and wanted to debrief that with Louie. Now, I know Matt is making the magic happen, but Matt, I want to get your thoughts, if you can, on this craziness. Here's what I think is going to happen. Here's what I think is going to happen. I think the U of A, I think the football team, is going to beat Oregon next week. Because that is the kind of season that we are having, where we don't win the games that we should, and we're at least competitive in the games that we have no business being in. I'm going to put this out there, and I'm prepared to be very wrong, but I think, and this might be my last football thing here before we get Louis on, I think that the U of A is going to beat or be very competitive against Oregon. Which is now, I think, what, the number three team in the country after beating Ohio State. We have no business being in that game, but I think we might have a shot, because that's the craziness of this season. So I don't know what y'all think about that, but I think we're going to be competitive against Oregon, a game that we obviously have no business being in, because we've been Oregon's Achilles heel before, when Oregon has been highly rated, heading to the championship. Then they come to Arizona Football Stadium, and it gets messy. And we should have beat NAU. I bet you we're competitive against Oregon, because that's just the way. Phone lines. Are we still working to get Louie on? Alrighty, perfect. Well, Louie, I'm gonna go on without you. I'm gonna do this Monday morning. Monday morning news hour. I want to talk here before we go to the break about the future of Tucson's downtown. And this is one of the three F's that we were going to talk about and are going to talk about with Louis Christensen, our guest here on Monday morning news hour here on Tipping Point with Zach Yenser's football, film, and the future of downtown. I'm going to reverse it a little bit. I want to talk about the future of downtown. Now, there's a guy by the name of Richard Florida, and I think a lot of people will know his name. He was a guy that talked a lot about how talent retention and attraction is defining cities. This was, you know, 10 to 15 years ago, and he talks still about that a lot. But he was in Tucson a couple of weeks ago, and he talked about something that I have been talking about on this show, and that is how we're going to need to see a shift. And we have seen a shift, and COVID has shown us that shift from central business districts to central recreational districts, which I thought was interesting, or business improvement districts to recreational and residential districts. Now, what's interesting is this guy is, whether or not you agree with him, has been in this field for many decades, is widely considered to be a verified expert. Again, whether or not he gets it right or whether or not we agree with him is not the issue. This is what this guy does, is studies urban centers. And by the way, Richard Florida says, and I've said it on this show, and so I obviously agree with him, is that plagues have not killed cities. If you think that COVID spells the end for the American urban experience, you haven't looked very far back in history, because history shows that plagues and pestilence strengthens urban centers. In fact, urban centers have been at the forefront of not only fighting plague and pestilence, but of actually creating solutions for the for the next time around. So urban centers are not going to go away from COVID. We're going to see some shifts. Now, what Richard Florida said, and this is backed up by the data that we are seeing, right? We are seeing office space downtown and commercial space not as fast in urban centers, certainly as it is in suburban areas. But also, as we are seeing in residential for sure, he says, look, if we are shaping downtown areas, and we see this in Tucson, around just the 9 to 5, which has bugged me quite a bit around downtown Tucson, is that it is still, after all this time, a 9 to 5 working experience, or it is a 7 to 11. 7 p to 11 p experience. So you are either working here, or you are being entertained here in downtown Tucson, but not yet a full family. And that's a Louis Christensen word, a full family experience. And what Richard Florida is saying is, look, we are going to see, and thank God, by the way, thank God, we're going to see a turn away from just a 9 to 5 or 7 to 11 experience, but a requirement for places like Tucson's downtown to be a full family experience. And by the way, it used to be. Right. This is what it used to be when downtown Tucson was thriving. Shocker. It was a full family place. You could shop. You could eat. You could wine. You could dine. You could live. You could sleep. And on your way back and forth, you were going to high school. You were going to college. That's what my older neighbors tell me. So it's really interesting and really refreshing to hear something that I have said all the time when I was working on downtown issues a lot. I would hear, hey, we need to get people to come back down to downtown for us to survive COVID. And I always thought, wait, there's tens of thousands of people who live here 24/7. No one is ever asking, what does it mean for downtown to be a district unto itself that is not just supported by local tourism, but is supported by people who actually live here? And I think if we're trying to shape an urban core experience that is only a playground for people to work or be entertained, then it's not just going to be strong. We're going to see, because there's a lot of residential that is being almost finished in the downtown area, we're going to see if it all starts to click. I think we got Louis on. This might be worth spilling over to the next segment. But Louis, this is a soapbox issue for me. I asked you what's on your mind. What are you looking at on your Tucson Tomorrow Twitter feed? We're talking football, film, and the future of downtown. Louis, my soapbox, good morning to you. Are you with us?
Morning. Yeah, I am here for now. Yes, absolutely.
We are having a case of the Mondays, but don't worry, I'm wound up and ready to go if we lose you again. Louis, good morning to you. Happy Monday. Hope all is well.
Yeah, all is good. I mean, it is as good as it can be after that weekend we all had.
For sure. So let's do this. I want to take a pause on the future of downtown conversation. We'll pick that back up in our third segment after the break. But I've got you for about 5 minutes here before the break. I don't know if you heard my thoughts on U of A NAU football. I want to go back to that because you are hearing more than almost anything at this point on Tucson Tomorrow about Tucson's football travails. BYU is unbeaten and nationally ranked. We were supposed to lose that one. We were decently competitive. We thought SDSU was a worse team. It turns out that San Diego State is unbeaten and also nationally ranked. So okay there. We were supposed to beat NAU, and that didn't happen. So what do you make of that, Louis Christensen?
I mean, What do you make of it? I mean, just right out of the gate, first and foremost, we got to look at what we know is going wrong, right? So let's just start with the team itself. Sumlin, our previous coach, really hurt our team a lot. His last two recruiting classes were ranked at the bottom. I think it was number 11 out of 12 in the Pac-12, right? So that's the world that Fish is inheriting. He isn't inheriting a team that, man, we just can't get over this, like, we can't win the South, right? We can't get to a national championship. Man, we can't win a bowl game. That's not the team that he was inheriting. That's the team that Rich Rod was inheriting. That's a team that, right. Well, you know, Sumlin actually kind of inherited, right? He's inheriting a broken, devastated Chernobyl of a team. And we knew it going into it. Back in July, PFF, Pro Football Focus, I think that's the acronym there, they do a lot of analytics, and they ranked U of A's quarterback room as the worst in the Pac-12. Last week on Saturday, our O-line graded as on a national scale as backups, and they're our starters.
Mm-hmm. I should go suit up. I bet you could jump in.
I gotta put on some LBs. COVID didn't add on enough LBs for me, but I know a couple guys who might be interested in heading out there. But O-line is super important. Like, for those who don't really know football super well, like, it's the reason that Patrick Mahomes had such a terrible time against Tampa Bay in the Super Bowl. You can be an amazing quarterback, and if your O-line is bad, you're not an amazing quarterback. And that just, the O-line issues, the problem is it gets exacerbated by bad quarterback play, because you're holding the ball, you're scrambling in the direction you shouldn't, you're freaking out and going the wrong way, you're not hitting the receivers quickly enough. And so that's really where a lot of our problems stem from, if you look at the actual grades. Mm. Now, it was a very, very small sample size, but McLeod, who is our third-string quarterback, actually did grade better than Will Plummer did.
I think he starts against Oregon, Louis.
Oregon. At this point, I ran a poll. Exactly. I ran a poll on Tucson Tomorrow over the weekend, just to see, like, what do you need to see from the team to feel good going into the rest of this, into next year, right? We got this new era. What do you need to see to feel good? The number one answer was, I don't care. It was never going to be good after someone. That was 38% of the vote. Number two just said, beat ASU. That came in at 30%. And then C was just like, you know, maybe win a few at 26%. So I think we have a realistic understanding of what this team was going to be.
Agreed.
I think we all circled NAU as our number, you know, that was going to be our win. But Fish keeps saying this over and over again in his pressers, and I know we're kind of coming into the bottom of the hour here.
Right.
He says that he needs to teach this team how to win. This team needs to learn how to win. And that's a scary thing to hear, because I'm starting to believe that they don't know how to. That the guys out there are so damaged by the history of what they've gone through in their short time here at U of A. I'm talking the players, right? These guys who are suiting up for us and getting hurt for our entertainment. So let's put it in the context. Like, these guys are trying really hard, but if you've been beaten, battered, and bruised, I mean, these guys have PTSD when it comes to losing. That's all they've ever. Some of these guys, they've never won a collegiate football game because of someone. And it sounds silly, but it actually does take knowledge. It takes ability to know how to win. And I really think if you look at what happened in Las Vegas when we played BYU, who's going to be, I think, a top 10 team by the end of the year, top 15 maybe.
Probably.
Depending on how things shake out. They're a really great team.
Mm.
We came out guns blazing because we had a full stands. Right, we had a lot of fans up there. It was a loud crowd.
Louis,
and the debacle. Oh, go ahead.
No, Louis, let's do this. Let's spend 60 seconds on this on the other side of the break. I've got a hot take, and then I want to, on the other side, also talk with you about the future downtown and film in Tucson. We'll put a pin in it for now. We'll come right back after bottom of the hour news break. We're just getting started here with Louis Christensen, curator of Twitter feed Tucson Tomorrow, our Monday morning news hour. You're on Tipping Point. What are the community stories that define us? Talking about these stories are what Tipping Point is about, and what Storyteller PR, a public relations firm in Tucson, has been doing meaningfully for years in our community. Storyteller PR activates publicity, social media, and event production to establish and strengthen the reputation of Southern Arizona brands and organizations. What story do you need to tell? Visit us at storytellerpr.com to learn more.
The Men in Black are back. FC Tucson is our city's own professional soccer team, featuring talent from around the country and the world. They're ready to get back to business and a winning season for Tucson fans. Each one of the 14 home games this season will be uniquely curated and feature the sights, smells, and sounds of Tucson, but with the intensity of a playoff berth at Keno Stadium. Tickets now on sale. Head to fctucson.com to get yours for an exciting season of high-flying football. fctucson.com.
The economy is moving forward, and Arizona businesses are looking at new opportunities and challenges as we emerge from COVID-19. Leading companies are planning how to respond to new business and rebuild their teams and are looking for critical talent now. The right talent in key positions will make all the difference, and having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge. Devin and her team at Talent Store will connect you with top talent while positively impacting time to hire, retention, and your employer brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and scheduling time with Devin and her team.
When you manage your money with a credit union, you're taking true ownership of your finances and how your money impacts the community. Stop letting banking just happen to you. Bring your money home to Vantage West, federally insured by NCUA.
After you finish listening to The Tipping Point, listen to my show, The Hugh Hewitt Show, this morning from 10 to noon, right here on 1030 KBOI The Voice.
And we're back, Tucson and all of Southern Arizona, and happy to be back. Happy Monday to you. Daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk on this program about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. Coming to you live out of the Common Workspace Studios on AM 1030, KVOI, The Voice. We're with Louis Christensen this morning, our Monday morning news hour. He curates the Tucson, Twitter feed, Tucson Tomorrow, and gets a really on-the-ground look at the issues that people want to talk about and are talking about. Louis Christensen, welcome back. Thanks for being our guide on this Monday morning news hour.
Yeah, happy to do so. Happy to do so.
So 60 seconds, please, Louis, because we've talked a lot of football on this show, and and I want to move on rather quickly, but here's my hot take. I think the U of A, I'm going to say it. I think Arizona football beats Oregon this weekend. You can start laughing at me, but it's that kind of season where we lose the games we're supposed to. We've always given a ranked Oregon team a hard time in the past. We have no business being in that game, which might make it just possible.
Yeah, and you know, there would be nothing more Pac-12 than beating one of our marquee teams right now. I mean, like the SEC, they all fall in line, right? Volunteers lose, Vanderbilt loses, Georgia kind of makes a run at it and then loses. Like, they all just know their role. Out here in the Pac, we're just like, no, I'm going to take down this team and ruin our chances of all that exposure on a national level. So I think there's actually a chance, just because why not? Mm-hmm. But just real quick, I'm going to wrap up this 1 minute and then we'll hop off of football. I think that the problems filing into the stadium against SDSU, the fact that we had empty stands at kickoff when everyone was standing outside of the stadium, really hurt us. I think it hurt our team's heart. I think that's a big reason why we lost against SDSU. I think they came out and they were super excited. Jed Fish got them all fired up, and they walked out to empty stands, or empty-ish stands. And I think that we could be on a completely different course as a team, just based on that, because Jed Fish brings the passion, and you could just feel no passion in that stand on that Saturday. And then obviously people didn't show up to NAU because, you know, that's what happened. But just as a beacon of hope in the future, last year our recruiting class ranked 77th in the nation, 11th here in the Pac-12. This year, as of now, 2022, with just a couple of months under the Jed Fish recruiting belt, we're already hopping up to 4th in the Pac-12 and 33rd in the nation. So when you hear people say this is going to be a long haul, this is not an overnight rebuild, seriously, believe it. This should have been a teardown team, and I really hope they start playing younger guys who are going to be here next year, so we can get some experience and reps underneath their belt.
Louis, I think great stuff. This is why we have you on the show. We're talking football, film, and the future of Downtown 3Fs today. We have you on the program for that in-depth analysis, so I appreciate it. The game is on ESPN this weekend, so let's hope that we give Oregon a really hard time on national TV, and that it's not another 70-7 game, because it very well could be. Okay, I'm going to leave it there.
I'm going to leave it there. I'm hearing the team really, like, inside. I got some inside information earlier, like, just not that long ago. The team wants McLeod. The actual players in the locker room want McLeod to hold the helm. So, let's jump on to film or downtown.
Perfect.
Where do you want to go?
Let's do the future of downtown, because I already started it in our second segment. I want to finish it, and then we'll finish our hour with the future of film. But the future of downtown, Louis, I was talking about How Richard Florida came to Tucson actually a couple weeks ago to speak to a group about the future of Tucson and urban places post-COVID. Plague and pestilence has always benefited cities over the long term. Mm-hmm. If anyone thinks that this killed downtowns, they are wrong. But he said that urban centers are going to have to, dare we say the word that was last year's word, pivot into rethinking its role. Louis, you get the benefit of seeing urban centers and districts all around the country. Richard Florida has said that we need to move, and all cities need to move, from central business districts to central recreational districts. Tucson's downtown used to be a place where you could live, where you could work, and where you could play. And now I think it's a 9-to-5 place and a 7-to-11 place. Richard Florida is saying downtown needs to become a district again, where it is lived in, where it is worked in, where it is played in by the same people. And that's an important point there. In your journeys around the country, Louis, I mean, this is what a lot of cities have, right? What's the future of Tucson's downtown?
Yeah, it's definitely a really great point, because I worked in downtown. I currently work remotely here in Tucson for the same company. But while I was in downtown, it very much was a place where you can tell people were there for work, and then they'd leave, get dressed, or, you know, take a break, take the dog out, and then come back for dinner or for, you know, for drinks in the evening. And so, yeah, I think we really need to put more of a focus and emphasis on the residential. We're a place is filled all day long, where you can actually live, work, and breathe down in that area. One thing that's always kind of plagued downtown, the big thing that's missing if you kind of look at what's down there, is supermarkets. There's nowhere where you can go and get a grocery, and if you're trying to tell someone, well, you can live in downtown, you don't even need a car because you can walk to work, and then what are they going to do, like load up their bags on the bus or the streetcar for groceries? Maybe, you know, that's a possibility. I've seen people do it in other countries, but that's not really a Western culture thing, and especially Western United States culture thing. So we need that grocery store in downtown, but the people I've talked to on the Rio Nueva boards and, you know, kind of people affiliated, are we need to get people living in downtown before we put a grocery store downtown, because if you open up a Trader Joe's or a Whole Foods or, heck, even a Safeway, and it goes under, that's a really bad look for a downtown metro to see the size of Tucson. So it's kind of we're stuck in this cycle of we need people down there. It's hard to get people down there until you have the things that allow people to be down there, type of a situation. So yeah, it's not a one size fits all problem across the United States. Every downtown has their benefit. There's some places that it's only where people live. There's some places where it's only where people work. And there's some where it's only for restaurants or the courthouse, you know, type of a thing. I work in a couple of cities like that. So, you know, it's we try and take the simple road out. We go, hey, you know, it depends on kind of, it's like a confirmation bias. Whatever kind of confirmation you want for your downtown to be, you're going to hope for that and push for that. And so far in downtown Tucson, it's been let's try and get some companies down there, and let's try and get some cool restaurants, and let's see what happens.
Louis, we've got maybe 4 or 5 more minutes on this, sure, and then we'll move on. But I want to dig in a little bit because, and actually we have Edmund Marquez from the Rio Nuevo District Board on. We'll talk downtown with him, and we'll also talk film with him. So that's later on this week. Just wanted to tease that. But what I think we've heard from the powers that be, Rio Nuevo, business groups, downtown, is, well, look, we're about to open hundreds of new rental units downtown.
Yeah.
That was the last piece of the puzzle. Everything now will fall into place that, Louis, you just talked about. Are they right? Are they partially right? Again, you've seen a lot of downtowns, a lot of districts. It's part of you professionally to do that. Do you think we just got to, you know, open up the Flynn and you know, Rendezvous got to get full and we'll be good to go?
Well, actually, right at the gate, Rendezvous, I think, is like 95% sold or something like that.
Is it? Wow, that was fast. It was 50% the last time I heard. Wow.
No, I think it jumped up quite fast as it kind of was.
Wow.
People could actually walk through a couple of the units and see what it looked like. Because it comes with a prettier ticket, you know, a price tag. So I think that's the last number. I'll find out and I'll let you know tomorrow if I'm wrong to correct me on that one. But
and that's the highest rent, sure, some of the highest rent anywhere, but especially downtown. I mean, it's luxury, you know, by the price too.
Yeah, absolutely. And but the thing is, we're kind of, we've talked about this a lot, we're missing that. Like, you know, people see that price tag and go, ooh, who could ever afford that? People can't afford that. The people who have the type of jobs and lifestyles that they want, that type of thing, can't have that. And what we need to realize is that we have kids and people, oh, I hear it all the time with these new units on U of A's campus. Man, these dang California kids are coming in and spending so much money. It's like, well, where do you think they were spending money before? Like, if we're a school of 42,000 people, $1,000 for a two-bedroom apartment, $1,000 if you have $1 million in the bank or $1,000 in the bank. So we actually need to alleviate some top-end pressure on our housing around the downtown area. It's going to open up new places, because if those guys are taking that number, it's not like the people without money can hop them and take a more expensive place. So we do need to kind of alleviate the top end side. That'll definitely help downtown. Heck, if they want to spend that, let them do it. We've already seen multiple previously, you know, student housing focused apartments turned back into family residences around the Pima County. Pima Community Center West and around the downtown area as well. So it's one of those situations where if we just keep moving forward, we let the market decide, you know, and look around the United States, and it's housing shortage is what's happening, right? Housing shortage, not a job shortage necessarily anymore, housing shortage. And with remote workers looking for new places to live, why not? You know, it's definitely there for the taking. So I think we just kind of move forward with it, see what happens. You know, opening up new housing is not going to raise the price of housing. We need housing to alleviate the market.
So, Louis, real quick to close as a follow-up. So I'm hearing a yes from you.
Yes.
That
yeah.
with your knowledge, more housing downtown sets the shift from a central business district alone to a center recreational and residential district. I'm hearing a yes from you this morning.
Yes, it fills the streets with more consumers. It fills our parks with more families. It gives businesses who don't have a lot of foot traffic, and it makes the downtown area more attractive when site selectors come through Tucson to see if they're going to choose downtown Tucson or downtown Phoenix or downtown Nashville. So it's a win-win-win as far as I see it.
Louis, final question. We've got listeners from the east side, everywhere, far north side, west side. A lot of listeners, Louis, will say Tucson could take or leave a healthy downtown. We probably don't need it, and we spend way too much money on it. Are they right? Are they wrong? Or somewhere in between?
I would say somewhere in between. You know, there are folks that live on the east side that complain about downtown. And they say that they wish they had it over on their side of town, but they don't. They don't go to those restaurants. They don't want the traffic. They don't want extra people moving into their neighborhoods. They don't want to see their old restaurant get quote-unquote gentrified, even though it's just a changing market trend. So right out of the gate, it's like, nah, you say that. You say you want that. But when you actually see what it would take for something like a downtown spending to come your direction, most people say no. And I have friends on the on the east side, and I've challenged them on that, and they're like, "Yep, you're right. I don't want, I don't want my corner to turn into a hopping spot." But on the other note, I am definitely more on the I would prefer larger nodes of entertainment and recreation around Tucson as opposed to all of it getting spent in one spot. I think that's it's a great way to alleviate traffic in areas. I think it's a great way for more walkability, right? You make quote-unquote Tucson a great walkable town, but I live in Midtown. I'm not going to walk to downtown. Sorry about it. It's too far. But I would walk down to my nearest large intersection where there might be housing and recreation, food, all that type of stuff. So I'm definitely more on the let's make larger nodes across, you know, our avenues. You know, that's a big move that Rio Nuevo, people don't realize that stretches all the way down to Park Place. So that might be in their plans in the future, just as long haul. So I hate to kind of ride the fence on it, but I'd say, yeah, we're spending probably too much money in one area. But if we make plans to affect multiple neighborhoods, man, that's a headache where people just don't actually want what they're saying they do when the rubber meets the road. We talk about that all the time, just me and you. So.
Louis Christensen is with us. If you just jumped in, he's the curator of the Twitter page Tucson Tomorrow, a cheeky, fun, yet very sincere Twitter feed, is what I say, about everything Tucson. And about once a month, we get to have Louis on to talk about some of the trends and issues he's seen. Today, we're talking about three of them: football, the future of downtown, and the future of film. Three F's: film, football, and the future of downtown, here on Tipping Point, your Monday morning news hour, talking about some big issues and trends. We'll be right back. Our final break of this drive time hour of Tipping Point. When we return, we'll talk about film in Tucson, something that really helped make Tucson. What is the future of it here in our community? Louis Christensen will give us his take on the other side. Don't go anywhere. We'll return in just a minute.
News at the top and bottom of every hour. 10:30, The Voice. Trusted local news and talk.
You love Decibel Coffee Works, the coffee of Tipping Point and the Yenser household, for their quality roasted coffee and beans. Now they're giving you even more reasons. Open now, the Scratch Kitchen at the MSA Annex will provide quick and easy breakfast and lunch with vegetarian and vegan options available to enjoy with your drink. Visit the MSA Annex right off the I-10 and Cushing to be one of the first to try. 267 South Avenida del Convento. In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new Tech Park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. When looking at retirement planning, conventional thinking asks, how do I get a higher return? Should I take on more risk, or is there a better product? Jason Robinson and his team at MassMutual focuses on the overall strategy first. He and his team of advisors have the tools necessary to measure the proper balance of investments and actuarial science for the best path possible for the highest retirement income. Call Jason and his team at 520-274-3749 to have them run through an analysis at no cost to see how much more efficient you can be, and tell them Zach sent you over.
The economy is moving forward, and Arizona businesses are looking at new opportunities and challenges as we emerge from COVID-19. Leading companies are planning how to respond to new business and rebuild their teams, and are looking for critical talent now. The right talent in key positions will make all the difference, and having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge. Devin and her team at Talent Store will connect you with top talent while positively impacting time to hire, retention, and your employer brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and schedule time with Devin and her team.
When you manage your money with a credit union, you're taking true ownership of your finances and how your money impacts the community. Stop letting banking just happen to you. Bring your money home to Vantage West, federally insured by NCUA.
Tom Sullivan here, inviting you to join the rest of us who spend every weeknight from 7 to 10 with the Tom Sullivan Show on 1030 KVOI The Voice.
And we're back, Tucson and all of Southern Arizona, here on Tipping Point, live out of the Common Workspace Studios on AM 1030 KVY, The Voice. Our Monday morning news hour here on Tipping Point is with Louis Christensen. He's the man behind the curtain of Tucson Tomorrow on Twitter. If you haven't followed it, you should. You get a really good look at what people in Tucson are talking about and the issues they care about. That's why we have him on once a month to give us his insights. We're talking three F's today: football, film, and the future of downtown. We've covered two of those themes here in the final few moments we have here with Louis. We're going to talk about film in Tucson. I'm not even going to set it up past that, Louis. But Louis, let's talk about film in Tucson. Your thoughts, please.
Yeah. So I would say when we think about film in Tucson, it's really easy to think about just Westerns, you know, because of old Tucson and all those types of things. But we actually had a lot of different type of movies filmed here. Just in the 80s, obviously Revenge of the Nerds jumps to the front of minds as we're talking about U of A. And that's kind of the, I think the future of Tucson is really going to be not just Westerns, but also just stories that happen across communities. We have a lot of really beautiful places here in Tucson. We have, a downtown area. We have places with pine trees all around us. You could film a heck of a lot of different type of movies here in Tucson, and it would work perfectly well. You know, heck, if Atlanta, Georgia can do it, why can't we?
Yeah, I teased in the last segment, we have Edmund Marquez on the show this week of the Rio Nuevo District. He's on the board. And the Rio Nuevo District is working towards incentivizing Tucson's movie industry. And we've heard a lot of news about some big projects coming to Tucson. You wouldn't have any insider baseball on that, would you, Louis? Or any hints or anything to tease or any ideas?
Yeah, I don't at this point. Yeah, I don't at this point. I know that we are going to be, you know, trying to get some extra funding here in Tucson for that through Rio Nuevo. I think there's a couple of bills getting put before Congress. Not Congress, our Senate, to try and pull back some of the tax relief things that brought film here in the first place. So hopefully there's some news on that front. I do know that Pima County has officially closed the proposal phase for folks who are looking to buy old Tucson studios, and so they're going to be deciding on which direction they want to go with that. So, if we want to talk about that, I could definitely talk about my thoughts on old Tucson and Tucson in general.
Let me just finish by saying that, again, Rio Nuevo has allocated about $500,000 to incentivize TV and movie industry in Tucson, and Chairman McCusker of the Rio Nuevo District Board, I said, I think it was on KGN9 earlier this month, that the hope would be some local success could spur on a statewide relook at providing tax incentives, which I think by and large is one thing that we haven't had in this state, that other states have really gone behind, like New Mexico, that has created a bit of a competitive disadvantage. And so why not give the private sector an opportunity to try and move the needle on this issue?
Yeah, absolutely. It's out there for the taking, and when people see a place in movies, it piques their interest, right? Which could become visitation, which can then become moving here at some point in time, right? So you never know that spark of interest. I mean, I can guarantee you that a lot of listeners out there are living out their Southwestern dreams because of a Western movie that they saw back in the day.
Louis, we've got about 4 minutes. Let's go to Old Tucson Studios. We've been tracking that with our friend Daryl Mallett on the program. We'll probably hear from him again early October on the show. But yes, you're right. It is moving into a decision-making phase. Any thoughts on the role of Old Tucson here in Tucson? 4 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, it's a unique place. I mean, I'm a Tucsonan, grew up here, so I obviously went on quite a few trips down there for fun and, you know, for school. School trips as well, but my thoughts is I when I look at Old Tucson and I think about it, it's just like a perfect analogy for how Tucson uses its history as an excuse to stay put. When we think about Old Tucson, you don't think about new movies necessarily. You probably think about Tombstone or maybe The Quick and the Dead or something like that. And it's a really easy excuse to say, like, well, you know, people just aren't that interested in Western movies anymore. And then you look at, like, the top-grossing video games. Red Dead Redemption 2 took over the entire world, and that is a Western-style video game, right? You have all sorts of new movies coming out. Tom Hanks just starred in one not too long ago. I mean, it's not like we're not making Westerns anymore. So why did it fail? Obviously, it has an excuse of the 1995 fire and COVID and all that, but we need to, as a community, as a city, not use history as an excuse to hold everything still in place and freeze it and not change it and not evolve and change, but as a way of saying, hey, this is an asset that we have that is grounded in history, and let's grow it, let's develop it, let's expand it, right? Let's open it up and use it to draw on the next generation, as opposed to using the things that attracted the last generation and forcing the next generation to try and like it, gosh darn it, because it's history. It's a classic movie, kiddo. Why aren't you watching Tombstone? It would be so much better to show them, like, hey, here's you know, it wasn't filmed here, but here's an experience like Red Dead Redemption or something like that to have people again get interested in old Tucson. And same with our history here. I won't mention which city councilor it was, but I mentioned like, hey, why isn't Fort Lowell Park like this gem of our city that's actually creating revenue for our community? And their response was, well, we really have to focus on the history of the place. I've looked at the plans for Fort Lowell, and I don't see a splash pad on there. I don't see any softball field. I don't see any baseball field. I definitely didn't see a swimming pool. So what history are you trying to hold in your iron grip? Let's change it. Let's adapt. Let's improve on the history that we have while obviously maintaining it. But the reality is history dies when people aren't interested in it. History dies when people aren't taught it. And so if there's no one around to listen, it really doesn't matter. So we have to adapt, we have to change, we have to evolve what we think of our community, what we think of our history, and continue to use it and improve it.
Louis Christensen, we'll put a pin in it right there and set the stage for next month or our next conversation together. Thanks for being on the show, our Monday morning news hour. Our guy, Louis Christensen, the man behind Tucson Tomorrow. Follow that on Twitter if you haven't. Louis, one more time, thanks so much for your thoughts on 3F's football film and the future of downtown. We'll do this again real soon.
Yeah, thanks, Zach. Appreciate it.
Louis, appreciate it. And tied to that, Edmund Marquez is our show tomorrow. He will be on to talk about the Rio Nuevo District, downtown film, and so much more. We'll also talk to the great business owners over at Him and Her here as a business spotlight on Tipping Point with Zach Yenser. Hugh Hewitt up next. Bill Buckmaster at noon. Until we see you again tomorrow, 9 a.m. drive time for Tuesday's edition of Tipping Point with Zach Yenser. Be safe out there. We'll see you tomorrow, Tucson. Thank you.